4 minutes after 6 o'clock, what a way to kick off. St. Leonard's Panic Stream. A panorific interpretation of Red Plastic Bags. Panic. Big event coming up for the bag soon. But there's a big event right now on VOB 92.9 FM. It's called Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Sluggy is in with a wonderful selection of guests for today. Sluggy, welcome. Super Saturday. Good evening.
Yes, yes, manners, manners, I respect. This is your boy, Sluggy, VOB 92.9, Starcom Network, the nation's number one station. And thanks for tuning in and listening to us. Today is another episode of Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. I want to say hello to my guest, Antila. I saw Tila say she can't hear. Exit the chat. I'll come back in, Tila, if you can't hear. So we can get that fixed now in the early. I want to thank Barbados for supporting so heavy, man. Like, before we start anything, I must thank Barbados heavily for supporting all the projects, for supporting the youth that I push, for coming out for the Junior Soca Monarch. I want to thank you a million thanks for, thanks to everyone, all the Starcom Network listeners for donating to feed every child and the back to school. And thanks for the calls and messages. And you can call me 236-3534, not no, obviously, or WhatsApp me at 236-3534. Of course, we're doing another back to school drive for the kids. So call me now. Let's get that cracking. I am extremely pleased today. We have some very, very, very special guests. And Barbados, you know, I come for a good couple of weeks and haven't spoken to you as much in the last coming weeks. You know, you had a lot of music to get to, had a lot of interesting guests, lots of dialogue. But the numbers, of course, don't change. 434-1790. 434-1790. And one thing I must say before we start, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, what I love about this season and what these challenges bring so far is that, you know, normally you will have the, you know, normally Calypso would dominate, and as soon as the first Monday is finished, you know that we're finished. But we have a barrage, a whole host of music still being played nonstop all now, especially on VOB. So
yeah, Kevin, you just seem to have disappeared there. Unmute, please.
Me?
Yes, good. You're back now.
Okay, cool. I'm very, very sorry. I'm loving that we are getting lots and lots of music still, Ronnie. Absolutely love that. I do want to thank Chris Irie for coming on this evening. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you coming and sharing your art and your stories. Thank you in the early. Thanks for coming on. Your first time on Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, but I'm sure it'll not be your last. You have a lot of interesting music, and check out your music and your style. And it's quite interesting. And we had a lot of singers in our time singing genres close to yours, but nothing like your style. I was speaking about like Tony Norville, you know, gave that R&B flavor. But it still wasn't like yours. Your style is very different. So I'm interested to pick your brain a lot this season and get to know how you come about your style, mm-hmm. and how you come about, how you find that pocket that you're in where you can't pinpoint many others. And there's nothing wrong with a whole host of us doing similar music. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of calypsonians, a lot of reggae artists. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just find it refreshing that your style is a little different to everything else that's out there. And those are things, I'm a freak, right? When it comes to music, I'm a geek. You understand? So things like this really, really makes me feel great. Especially when you put all over the net that you are Bajan artist, you know, you're hailing from Barbados. I love that. But still, when you hear your style is very different. You make people say, whoa, Barbados have that. You understand? And I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate Teal as well, your creative ventures. You know, this getting to know the artist series I'm pleased about, because normally, you know, we have interviews, we don't have discussions, and you know, normally, and my style, I always have discussion. Don't let the interview type, you know, you have questions, it must be set a certain way, certain questions. Nothing is wrong with that, of course, but I love to have conversations with the creatives. So I like what I was doing, getting to know the artists and asking them questions outside of the norm. So I really appreciate the ladies. And it seems like when we have a crisis, and I will say this as a man, right? I know I admit this here, no, Chris Irie. It seems like when we are having a crisis, even if it's at home, if you're at home and it's mommy and daddy and it's something really wrong, mommy's who got to pull it together. See, you know, it's something happening. No, you check the world. No, a lot of the world leaders who are doing really good, you know, are women. So it seems like we, it seems like the ladies give us that
strength.
Yes.
Strength of a woman is unmatched.
Yeah, it's really interesting, especially at this time. Like, CF Canada had a couple events, and the events were the bomb. You know, a big up CF. And then they said, Tila. Yeah, they see Tila had getting to know the artist, which is imperative right now. I saw Allison doing live performances online to people overseas.
Yeah.
And like all these different ladies, you understand, like right now, like
really showing really up.
And I love it. And I love it, Chris, because like I say all the time, don't care what family, like, you know, if a female is going harder in entertainment.
In this industry.
Like, it'd be very hard. Like, you know, easy. Like, if you come and wear something real sexy, you know, and singing certain music and you dress real sexy, you know that's gonna sell easy. You know, people are gonna love to look at it. But when someone just focusing on the art of it, even if dressing sexy is the art, because you and I know for sure the industry, you know that fashion is an art. Putting things together, having an ensemble together is an art, like for sure. So when is the art, you know, it'd be very hard to let people just see the art. You know, we love gimmicks a lot. But we both as well, we like a good joke. Nothing wrong with a good joke. Of course, nothing wrong with laughing and enjoying yourself, but sometimes it'd be good to let the public see the art and pick down the art and really see what goes into the process. And looking at your art, I see a really different approach. I check the Facebook page, check YouTube and Instagram, and I see that you are very, very detailed and focus.
Thank you. First, thank you for having me.
Like, no problem. No problem. Go ahead.
First time ever on your show. So
yes, it's a please
to be here with you.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
I do pay a lot of attention to detail, and I am focused. I try my hardest to remain focused. I mean, come on. You have to in order to make moves, you know what I mean? Like, you have to have that drive.
So you were always this detailed, always, or something snapped along the way. You being an artist, did something snap and you decide, whoa, let me change script and get this focus? Or you always, even before the followers went up, before all your followers went up, how they are, before you had the music and the quality you had now, were you still concentrating on being so detailed in terms of the visual and putting yourself out there, and then sonically pleasing, making sure that you are easy on the ears? Were you always so focused on that?
Honestly, as I've grown as a person, and as I've grown with the music, my attention to detail has grown as well. So I wouldn't say that, you know what I mean? Like when I would say that I've always had a love and a passion for the arts, you know, in general. But, you know, as I've traveled, as I've had more discussion with people in the industry, as I've just experimented and explored, that's where I've kind of found, you know, my own flavor, or, you know, where I've just learned how to do certain things right. You know what I mean? And, but I wouldn't say that I've always had such attention to detail. It's something that's
good. That's being honest. That's being real.
As an artist, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so would you say the process took you how many years?
I think you're muted.
I'm here. You hearing me? Are you not hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you, Kev. Hearing you very clearly.
Good. I think it's Chris. Are you not hearing me? You're not hearing me, Chris?
Well, we're not hearing Chris now. She was speaking so eloquently. Now, people at home don't have the benefit of seeing her. We can see her, and she's interacting, but we're not hearing her. I'm seeing a little wave there, yes, as far as her hand's concerned. Okay, she's ready to go. Put back on your mic there, Chris. You should be okay.
The connection seems to have...
Okay, you're there.
Good. You're there now. You're there now, Chris.
I don't know if you guys can still hear me.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Go ahead. That's one of the things with Zoom, see?
Yes, please.
Go ahead. You've got a thumbs up there. Go ahead.
Yeah, still can't hear y'all.
But we're hearing you, so just talk. I'm signing. You go ahead and have a chat. Kev, in the meantime, what we can once you mute your mic there, given the source that I'm coming, we're going to run this track called Return to Love, okay?
Oh, yes.
Alles ist gut. Todo es bueno. Es bueno. Alles ist gut. Todo es bueno.
I can't turn on the news anymore, 'cause it pulls me into depression, and they do anything now just to get our attention, and we are out of control by people who are money driven. No one stops to think, who am I? No one stops to even listen. The world is in pain. People are crying. People are dying. And what are we doing about?
What we have is love. What we
Taken from the YouTube video Return to Love, that's Chris Irie. That's fantastic work there, Chris. Kevin, world class.
Well, yes. Top class. Ronnie, top class. Then you get this type of art by persons in our country, by artists that are still aspiring artists, Ronnie. You have to respect the level of commitment. If you understand me, Ronnie, you have to respect the level of commitment that these youngsters are putting in. I'm sure, because you always do your research, I'm sure you check out the YouTube. So you would have seen the visuals, you would have seen the videos, would have seen the graphic work, you would have heard the production. And like you said, it honestly is world class. I'm not just saying that because she's here. It honestly is a world class production. Chris Irie, need everyone there to check out Chris Irie. You heard the music, you heard the song. Let me know how it's sounding, how you like it. And because these young people are the future for sure. Of course, we must salute our legends. We must respect our legends. We must let our legends know we appreciate them. But the fact remains that we need these youngsters to have the opportunity to grow into legends in all various genres. If you go R&B, we can say Tony Norville. You understand Tony Norville? You know, she's a legend in the game. You know, you could get Philip Forster as well, another master and legend in the game. If you go reggae, we can go all back with Shaky Ranks. So, you know, like things didn't start, you know, Kid Sight all back in the dub days. So we must give these youngsters the chance to bloom. And I'm so pleased that Ronnie give her that backing and says world class, because it truly, truly is. Do we have her back as yet, Miss Irie?
Okay, let's see if we can get her back in. Seems to have stepped out to come back in. She's back with us now.
Yes, and we have Tila here as well. We got Miss Irie on. Miss Irie's here now.
Well, all Tila needs to do is unmute and she can contribute.
Yes. What if Tila's hearing us?
Yes, I can hear now.
Hi, everybody.
Great to have you back.
Great. That's no problem, Chris. These things happen.
Technical difficulties. I know.
No problem. These things happen. Good. Now, Ronnie, by the way, Ronnie just played one of the songs, and Ronnie said world class, and I agree.
Thank you, absolute. Ronnie. Thank you. Which one did everybody hear?
Well, I can say that your Return to Love, your social media presence is impactful, and it certainly leads people to get to the YouTube site and the other platforms that you have. So obviously you're making sure that you're connecting and networking as widely as you can. And once a person hears that work, it's like, wow, Barbados, agreed. Rihanna, Cover Drive, people like Vita Chambers, people forget Vita Chambers, and other persons of that ilk just doing great things. Amanda Reefer, of course, lead vocalist with Cover Drive. Right. And then all the artists we've had before that were before the generation of social media and digital distribution, the Wendy Arlenes, the Carolyn Leacock, the late, great Cheryl Hackett. Of course, you've got people like Cindy LaBelle, Kim Derrick, and Kareen Clark, and Jan Gibson, Tamara Marshall. And I'm not sitting here reading anything. That goes to show you how impactful they are.
No,
you've got people like June Knight, Fern Trail, Norma Stout. And it's just tremendous, the type of musical legacy that we have. So even though you're living in your generation and you're moving forward, there are many persons who have allowed us to get to this point in our various disciplines.
Definitely. So glad to have you back, Chris.
Thank you.
Yes, the name I said.
You called a pit, they've paved the way, you know, they've paved the way.
Very, very, very true, man. Like, we have.
And inspired us.
Well, yes, Chris, we have classics. Like, if you want to call it R&B back then, you know, we have classic Bajan R&B music that today, if we have NIFCA right now or anything like that, or the school music festival, any national competition, you will hear some of them like Beautiful and Unspoiled is one.
I was like, literally about to sing that song.
Like,
I love that song.
That is a classic. So
classic.
Yeah, so when you step into the genre, when you step into this type of music, Chris Ayri, and you know well they have songs like that where you can comfortably say the next 50 years that song is going to be still playing. Like, we can comfortably say that the next 50 years, whether we be here or not, that song is going to still be played Beautiful and Unspoiled. There's no one that ever heard that song or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, everyone loves it.
It's the songwriting. It's beautiful.
Oh. I like when you go there. So you believe a lot. The songwriting have a lot to do with it. Stamping these classics.
I do because, I mean, a great song lasts a lifetime, you know, and especially one that tells a story and has substance in a way, you know. Some of the greatest songs, I have this discussion with musicians and my friends all the time, you know, about, you know, the era of the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, 90s, and then the music that's being done right now. Of course, music is allowed to evolve like anything else, right? But, you know, the Bob Marleys, the Michael Jacksons, you know, the Chaka Khans, the music that they sang, there was something about it that it will always be played in households, you know what I mean? The Marvin Gaye's, like, we always have these discussions and we say, so what is it about the music that it has lasted so many generations?
Yeah.
And, you know, you come up with a few things, and to me, it's the songwriting, it's the musicianship, you know, the live instrumentation. But also, someone brought up a point. They were like, it was something about the time and how they were really living out these experiences, and they spent their whole life on the road. So the touring element comes into it too, because these artists, they toured their whole life, you know. Their connection with their fans were literally an everyday thing in person. Right now we have social media, you know, it's still a blessing, but
it's different times. Yeah, it is. So it's interesting that before the music, you say, like, we spoke about a song and a classic, and you went straight to the songwriting. You cited the songwriting as one of the intricate factors in the music, because storytelling can never get old. Because this is what I believe it is, right? Mm-hmm. So I really believe that. And I strongly believe this, that storytelling never gets old. That way, if we hear a million Anansi stories for all the years, it's still going to sound refreshing to us. We hear a million Aussie Moore stories.
Storytelling, always, what? You cut out from
storytelling. Storytelling never gets old. Like, a good story. You can hear me?
Daniel, it's happening.
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, that's her. She can't hear. Something wrong with her again. But I was saying, Ronnie, that I believe that the what makes certain music stand out, apart from the music, is good storytelling. After whatever the story is, that we find certain songs will live forever, because a good story never gets old. So I was saying, like, Aussie Moore, Anansi the Spider. You know, these various stories will never get old. That we see, like, before persons like Alfred Pagano could come on the radio and just read stories a whole evening, And it seems so interesting because, you know, we love a story. I mean, we as people, and that's what connects us together. Because when you hear a story or a song that tells a good story, you can always relate to it. Like, you hear, like love you long time. Like, when you hear that song, like, everyone can go, boy, this sounds familiar. Yeah, like,
it's all in the songwriting, in my opinion.
Yes, it is the songwriting for sure. So I heard you spoke about traveling, about you. I heard you spoke about you traveling with your doing music. Where is some place that you traveled that changed your perception? Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, can you repeat again? Because problem. Coming in and out all the time, and I'm so sad problem.
At it. Yeah. One of the places that you traveled to that changed your perception of how art and performing and music should be. Some place you went where you were pleasantly surprised. Because I heard you speak about traveling.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say pleasantly surprised or necessarily changed, but more so just open my eyes. I mean, when I spend time in New York City and I go to different shows, you know, it's such a blessing to see many of the artists that I've seen.
Yes.
Like Rihanna and Drake, The Weeknd, and just, you know, pay attention to how they put on their show and the lighting and the dancers and, you know, the big stadium shows. It's just more so how, you know, my eyes have been open to, because I mean, in Barbados, like, we have shows, but they're not like, obviously they're not like huge shows. Occasionally like the Hennessy Artistry or, you know, Reggae on the Hill and so on, but
yeah, which is once a year.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm more so open my eyes and just all one big experience. But I've also been blessed to have my own experiences. And you know, when I left BCC, I studied music for 2 years, and as soon as I left, I went on tour with Arturo Tappin, and
yes,
yeah, we've been touring since. So it's been 3 years with the band, and you know, Turo gets booked for a lot of the regional music festivals and international. Mm-hmm. Like we did China once,
yes,
2 years ago, and we Toronto, and then we did like all the Caribbean islands. But
yes,
that in itself has been, you know, my own personal experience on a big stage with the big lights and with a huge band. And, you know, that's been my, how do I say, like, that's been my training so far. Nice. You know, learning from people who are better than me. Yeah.
Yes. How, here you mentioned China, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. How was that experience performing in China for such a large country and a different culture? Like, obviously they love our music. China love music. Music is very big in China, but the, mm-hmm. their culture is extremely, extremely different. How was that experience being there before the music, before performing, and then on stage? How was that experience?
Let me tell you, right? It was so contrasted. Everything was just so contrasted, and sometimes like didn't make sense. But we went for an arts festival, and
yes,
we played a lot of soca music actually, and we did a lot of reggae.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I did a lot of my originals, and the other artists in the band did as well. But one thing I realized when I was in China is that they don't listen to music. It's not playing
in the stores or in the hotels. It's not playing anywhere. And if it is, it's like either classical or covers of artists that you know, but not done in like a really pleasing way.
Oh, that's very interesting.
You can still hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah. I can. Yes, I can. Yeah, I can.
So, but one thing that was so beautiful was the way they responded to us. You know, the crowd was so, they received us very well. And I think hearing soca and calypso and reggae, they were trying to understand a bit like the rhythm. You know what I mean? But they really loved the music. They loved the band. They were very, you know, it was still a cool experience, but it was very contrasted because they live a completely different life to us, you know?
Yes.
And we were there for 5 days, but it felt like 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we were in China. 5 days, but it felt like
5 days in China is a long time. Here, 5 days in China is a long time for some. We are so different. But you mentioned something that I find very interesting, Chris. You said that normally they don't really listen to a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
but it's a very controlled country, you know.
Yes, it is.
It was very hard for us to even contact our families and speak to our families. So, whereas it was a really great experience, and let me tell you, like, I had a ball because, you know, we went to the Great Wall of China, and I love traveling and I love experiencing other people's cultures and just knowing what other people, you know, have grown up in and the history and so on. But every time I travel, I am always like, I'm so blessed I'm from Barbados and I live here. I mean, like,
it's very true.
Them sweet,
like, yeah. Like, very. I probably don't do that to you. I probably make you see, well, wow, like, we really have it good in certain aspects. Traveling does that to you. See how people live, but then you said it's a very controlled country. That is very, very true. The fact we all know, like, everyone know China, very, very controlled. But you find that performing wise, they enjoy it. They really party and enjoy it.
They did 100%, 100%. And I mean, anywhere around the world that you travel and you could perform for people and they receive you well and they dance with you, like, that just makes you, you know, feel good, and knowing that you're making them, you know, happy and feel good. So
yeah, and it probably gives a different feeling, especially when if it's like a place that don't listen to music a lot, but then they come out, hear the music for the first time and still really enjoy it, even if they're enjoying themselves and the music is the second part. It really is a different feeling. You understand? Like a euphoric feeling is like, wow, like, these aren't my friends, these aren't my peers, these people aren't my culture, know how I speak, but they're really receiving the music. That's a really, really great, unique feeling. How it was going from BCC to then working with Turo, because Turo is one of the greatest ever. I don't mean Beijing, I mean period. Like,
yes.
100%. Remember, Turo spoke to us about his audition. Other people auditioned for Luther Vandross.
Yes.
Yes, like, so you understand. So Turo didn't went with a buy. Turo did not. He did not go with a buy-in. If you understand me, he said he went to the audition. Other people played, and he played as well, and he got the gig based on his audition, not necessarily connections. So. And you know, everyone knows Luther, like, Luther the stickler for perfection. If you listen to Luther music, listen to how he speaks. If you ever watch Luther on YouTube performing, if you ever listen to an interview, like, Luther is a music genius. You understand? Yes. Every note must be perfect and how he like it, and the nuance must be correct. All these different things Luther checks for in a performance that the average person might not necessarily check for. If you're the background vocal, he's listening for your vocal inflections. He want to hear everything. He want to hear exactly where you sit in the chord, like everything Luther speaks about, check for. So to then go to a person like that, an audition from Barbados and got through, like, you got to know the greatness of our Turo tapping, like, for sure. You know what I mean? There's no short of greatness there for sure. Hey, me, this is my personal opinion as Sluggy. Like, I personally think he's one of the greatest ever. Like, ever.
Yeah. And he also would have toured the world with Roberta Flack.
Of course. Roberta Flack. Roberta Flack may do most of the work. Of course. How it was going from BCC, then jumping into that.
Yeah,
because that word is different. Because BCC, I went BCC as well. I did the program as well. And luckily, or thank God, I did really, really well. You understand? Mm-hmm. But then, still going out in the real world is still extremely different. Mm-hmm. Like ensemble grading, as you know, ensemble grading and juries and music on the mountain and portfolio ain't anything like performing on your big stage. And then you did it with Turo.
Yeah.
How was the difference in the level of production and performance and rehearsals and music for you? How was that whole difference going from BCC to that great world?
Yeah. So when I left BCC, I was 18, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I immediately went to New York, and I spent 4 months in New York City. My mom's sister, she lives there, and when I was leaving New York, a few days before, I got a call and they said, you know, Kristen, you know, we'd love to have you on the St. Lucia show. Rehearsals are XYZ dates, but when you come back, they're only 3 days for rehearsals. So when I got back to Barbados, I had 3 days to learn a whole show that the whole band was practicing for 3 months already and already did live. And including the fact that it was Nikita, Marissa Lindsay, and Philip Seven, all people who have been in the industry and have mastered their craft. And like, I was 18 years old and I was very nervous and I was intimidated, and but you know what, being around them, it pushed me to find my voice, but yes, it also pushed me to be better, because I was learning from people who knew what they were doing and were better than me and wanted to help and teach. So man, I am so grateful up to now, because it was like, I left school, but I went back into school, you know, like, you're
for sure
stop learning. And so I think that St. Lucia show was my audition and I got it.
Yes. me tell a story about tour, right? Like,
yeah,
my buddy, Marius Charlemagne, obviously, Maris played bass with Turo, our tour tapping, our tour a lot. Mm-hmm. Maris did, so we were at BCC together. Mm-hmm. And we did ensembles together. When I say ensembles together, I mean, as students, we had our own ensemble. You know what I mean? First time it happened with Maris and I, we had our own ensemble, the rock ensemble.
Yeah.
Maris said that after working with Turo and touring, he then applied to do a master's. Now, listen to this. Maris did a associate degree at BCC. He said he toured our Turo tapping. This from associate degree. Now, then went straight and did a master's,
mm-hmm.
and did extremely well. And he credited, he posted online, Facebook, IG, everywhere. He credited our Turo. And that time, he toured with Turo. He learned the music and he learned the business of music. And watch how tour operated, and was able to apply a lot of it when he was doing his master's degree, Chris. And got back the master's degree and did really well. Yeah. Like, I ain't know, like, obviously you were a tour, I know a tour, So, like, we can look at the experience a little different. But I think that is phenomenal. You understand? So, when you said you went back into school,
yeah.
I totally understand. So, I said that to reform your point on how it's really, like, going back into school and how beneficial, personally, like, to role are for the art form. Because when a person can say, I left BCC with an associate degree, toured with Tourou, thought I was good enough to then do a master's, did it, and was successful and credited Tourou too. So he and Jesse, well, you know what I mean? That's not a fly-off thing. Yeah. Credited him totally. So I know that experience for you have had to be really great. Like, what would you say are, like, just a few of the things that you would learn, you would have learned from Tourou that would make a person, like, Mario, obviously you can't know why Mario said that, but you experience the same person. So what would you say is, like, one of the ways in which Tourou operates that would make you say, wow, this is really learning the business side and the whole performance side?
Well, Tourou is, he pays a lot of attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
That is where I would have picked that up, you know, in terms of life.
Nice.
I could say he is marrying a perfectionist, and so I was like, you always gotta be like on your toes, you know what I mean?
this is a good thing. This is a good thing.
I mean, just being like, he will always say, like, study your craft, know your craft.
Yes.
Study your work, study the greats, you know, put in the work, put in the hours. But yeah, he's very, I would say the one thing that stands out the most is how he arranges the show, puts together the show, paying the attention to detail in the show.
It's never a performance only, always a show.
Yeah, it's a show. He passed on those things to us, you know.
Just
very, even like just slight things in the arrangement, slight things he knows the audience would like. You know, just I could say there's a bag of things, but
yes,
that's one of them.
You get it. Yes, sure. Yes, and
yeah,
as an artist, is so important, right, to work with persons like that. Chris, I relate. You said you have you on your toes. That is so important, because we all know how the brain works. We all know how muscles work. We all know how muscle memory is. And if you do something, if you try to do something perfect a lot, that is going to automatically stick with you. It's like if you're in cadets, you know, you're learning to march, you're learning phase, got you on your toes, it'd be hard. But then when you go on, the parade is nothing. You know what I mean? It's extremely easy, because, like, that grind and keeping sharp really pays off. So doing that is so important. I'm glad that you got to experience that. But you're one of the greatest. It's good that you are so grateful for it.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am. Sorry. And honestly, I always tell Tourou and the band this. I say, I wish that Barbados can witness what the show that we've put on for so many different audiences around the world, because it's big. We do not do small. So I don't know, maybe one day soon we'll come together and do a show here. Like, we've done small stuff, you know, like, for, you know, I think one of the biggest audience we played was over 13,000 in Guyana.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And the team you were with too, like Philip Seven, you know, Nikita. And Philip Seven. Yeah, like Nikita, Morrison, like Morrison Lindsay.
That is
yeah, you know what I mean? You understand,
one thing that truly stuck with me and I truly respected on the first show, right before we were boarding to go onto the plane, right before we had to go inside,
everybody was going inside, and Turo pulled me aside and he said, he was like, I know that, you know, these singers, they're big singers and it can be intimidating, but he was like, I don't want you to follow them. I want you to do good at what you do, like, because that's why I asked, you know, I asked you to be here, because you're good at what you do, your style, you know. So just, so he was basically reassuring me not to feel any like I had to be like, you know, but to hone in on what I already have and to sharpen that, you know, because that everybody's uniqueness, it adds to it, you know, it makes it great. So that was really cool to hear before we started the show.
Yes, that yes, that's such a blessing, huh, Chris? That's such a blessing. But back to something you said a little earlier, when you said you would love Barbados to experience it. I remember seeing Tura put out a video, and it was you, Philip Seven, like you said, Marissa, Nikita, for you all. I don't powerhouse vocalists. And then I saw Tura had people dancing, and then so you had a full brass section, and like Clear Cool and Justin and the guys who are brass section. It was a whole complete show. And then I even saw Turo's sign, which fitted into the show. But then the music too, like, you know, now we do a set list. You know, we do a set list. You know, you can do songs you like, songs you feel that the audience will like. And you can put them in order, you know, like the calypsos together, whatever. They're like the basic things. But then how Turo now selects, he sets something, you can follow the, like, you can follow the storyline.
Yeah,
which is such an art form. I don't know if you do it well. I guess you do it on purpose. Not I know, because this is too rough. So you know you do it on purpose. Yeah, but when you hear the settings, like, this is purposely done. Like, this is some serious work. And the set selection alone, and how the show supposed to go. How like you first time you say you had 3 days to rehearse, obviously. But I want to know after that. Like the preparation after that, like, because we all know the preparation sounds be hard, but it's be real enjoyable.
Preparing for these shows
during this time, and you preparing for these shows, are you ever overwhelmed, or are you always feeling, yes, I got it together, in the amount of work you all have to do?
You mean during those times?
Yes, during the shows. Yes, please.
Of course, I had many, many moments when I felt very overwhelmed. If y'all saw how our set list looked, y'all would be like, okay. Our set list, two times, we did a show that was 3 hours long.
Yes, please.
And honestly, I love stage, but they're still fantastic. But Lord, that tests your stamina, boy.
Wow, yeah, like, it can imagine. Because when you see the show, and then you see the different things happening while you are on stage, you understand me? Like, we see the different things happening while you are on stage, but still, for me, what I love about it is how I can tell everyone, is a part of it. Like, I even saw, like, Marius went away, and I even saw Kurt Lane played. And when Kurt Lane came in and played with Turo, like, Kurt was a part of it. Like, everyone seems to be a part of the overall production. That, like, you know what is going on, you know what's happening here, and you know you got this part, but this part that you're doing fits into the cog of things, which is a very, very beautiful thing. A very beautiful thing. So I'm glad that we got to know that side of you performing wise. I saw that your style. I saw you cited like R&B, reggae, hip hop. Like, these fusions are really interesting. Like, when you could say that, like, reggae, hip hop, R&B, these different genres. Because, yes, I do read. So I was reading a bit of bio on Facebook on the page, and they said, well, these are some interesting genres that you put together. Mm-hmm. Which genre or what music first got you into singing? Well, Simi? Chris Irie? This is me. I am doing this. I don't care how young it was. It could have been 3 or it could have been 18. Then what music, or you could remember your first memory, Chris, of hearing music and the drummer saying, whoa, I want to do that. Your first love.
First memory.
How young were you when you knew I want to sing, and I want to sing a lot? How young were you when you knew that?
I was about 7 or 8 years old.
When you knew in your mind you are doing this, or
yeah,
and not just enjoying it.
So yeah, that's a two-part question. So
yes, it is. Yeah. Yes.
So one, I can't see. I knew that I wanted to do this when I was, oh, your hair is okay. Sorry, I just had a important message come through. Okay.
No problem.
When I did my sexies and like everybody was making this decision that
the
next part in their life.
Yes.
I was like, okay, so I just went through school and whatnot, but this is my passion. Like, what am I going to do? Everybody is making decisions to go to university, to college.
Yes.
And one thing my parents said was, do what you love, but, you know, like, for the next few years, just do what you love, but do it in school. So that's when I was like,
I'm going, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's when I did the audition to get into BCC, and
yes,
I found out the same day that I got in. So sweet. I was very thrilled. But what was the challenge for me was that I had never done music in secondary school. So I had to do never. So I didn't know any theory. I didn't know nothing. So I had to do a crash course over summer. I did classes every day to be able to even pass the test. To get into the music program at BCC. So it would have been when I was 16 years old.
Okay. I love that you shared that with us, how you didn't do music before and you had to do a crash course, because it gets us closer to you and I understand well, my journey wasn't always easy, but I'm sure that you enjoyed it.
Yes, I did. It of course, you know, in every journey there's struggle. In my journey there has been struggle, there still is, but it's the one foot in front of the other, and it's the part where you keep going that, you know, you see results in even if it's in increments. It's today I went to a workshop and we talked about celebrating the small wins and the importance of celebrating in your journey.
So, well, yeah, start the things, girl. Yes, yeah. You must.
The reason why I said 8 years old is because I still have the book that I wrote. I wrote my first song at 8 years old, and I started writing at that
age. Yes, and if you study back, Chris, like, that is important as well. So that's why when you said the question is twofold, I said yes. Yeah. And I tell that to everyone, because maybe when you look back in retrospect, that point in your life was also very, very important in creating who you are now still. You know, like, might be seen insignificant item when you look back, be like, whoa. Like, how you can say you still got it, you still remember. Mm-hmm. You understand me? Like, that point in your life was intricate as well. I'm going to tell Barbados right now where can we find you?
So you can find me on my website, chrissyrie.com.
That's what we're talking about. Spell it. Yes, spell please. It out. Take a time and spell it out. That we're talking about, man. That we want here. Spell it out. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's K-R-I-S-I-R-I-E. Chrissyrie.
Yes.
One word.
Yeah. .com.
.com. And of course,
yes.
On there, you have all my socials and the same thing on all my socials, Instagram and YouTube and Facebook. So.
Yes, love it, love it. Love it, Chris. And that is, you know, like the world's small now because of the internet, obviously. So that is the move, that is the way to go. So that is why I purposely asked that question. You understand? Mm-hmm. So that other ones looking to follow can understand, well, this is the standard for artists all over the world. You know what I mean? A website, like, you want to know about. You artists, just, you know me, go on their website and find everything there. So I love that. Have you ever find music for sale?
Yes, please. All my music is on my website, and it's also available on Apple Music and Spotify.
Yes, yes.
Any of the streaming services that you guys use, so...
Yes, yeah. Yes, and that is brilliant. I see, Tila got back in. Tila, she got back in.
Unmute her mic.
Yeah, Tila, your mic is muted. You are there now, Tila.
She should be.
Not seeing her.
Yeah, so she unmuted mic. She unmuted the mic, but I'm not seeing her.
Seems like she destroyed the mic, not unmuted it, because it's just disappeared. One last chance, Taylor. We need you on the program this evening. Unmute, please. This is the new normal, it appears, for media, with Zoom taking over, given the social distancing and COVID-19 protocol. These type of things wouldn't be happening if a person was physically inside the studio, because the mic will only be muted if the announcer didn't have it on. So we'll give her 10 seconds. We'll count.
Yeah. 10, and this is the new norm. This 9, is the new norm, Ronnie.
8, 7, yes. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. There we go.
Yeah, sometimes this app is quite difficult to navigate. Like, I don't know, it's... Well, I'm not really a techie, so I can say that.
I will simply say that once upon a time, Zoom meant two things. It was a song by the Commodores, and then it was a song by and then there was another song called Zoom, not the same one, a group called Fat Larry's Band in 1982. So the Commodores one was first in the 70s, and then we had Fat Larry's Band in 1982 with Zoom. So Zoom tonight. Is keeping Tila out, and that's strange. We had her on the
Zoom, Zoom, Zoom.
I think we had her on the telephone a few months ago. I'm sure she was part of our panel before.
Oh yes. And everyone could go online and check out Tila online at IO Creative Ventures. That's AYO, IO Creative Ventures. You can go and check out Tila's starting series, Getting to Know Your Favorite Artists. Season 5, where she be interviewing everyone, and I see that she have Trinidadian songwriter Ace songwriter Shaf.
Wow,
is going to be, yeah, Shaf is going to be one of the persons for one of her shows,
right?
And which is thing is quite phenomenal to get a conversation with Shaf. So I would like everyone to go and check for that. And IO Creative Ventures is on IG. IO Creative Ventures, AYO Creative Ventures. You want to check that out.
Okay.
You can check chrissyrie.com. That is it, Chris? Chrissyrie.com?
Yes,
chrissyrie.com. Yes. Well, yes, chrissyrie.com, and that is brilliant. And everyone, please go check out IO Creative Ventures, AYO, and you can look out for Getting to Know Your Favorite Artist Season 5. Right, and Chris, really, really, of course, it's not going to be last. This is our first. It's not going to be our last. And because, as you could tell, I just love the art. I just love the young people doing things like this. This is just me. So I really, really appreciate
Thank you so much.
Yes, really. I appreciate you coming. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on and having a conversation with me, you know, and getting comfortable and telling us some of your experiences in China, how it was like, your experience with Arturo, and then a bit about you and your art. I really, really appreciate that because it's not every day.
Go ahead. I was going to say, how did you get introduced to the Krisairi sound and music?
Me, Sluggy, personally?
Yeah.
I just check everything, like everything. So if I see Turoga a band, I can check every single person inside the band. So who they are, if I don't know them. Like if I see like Junior Soul, come on, I can check every single. I just do it on my own. Like they had the Junior Soul, come on, gone last week or week before. I just check it for myself to make sure you know all the children. I went on radio every day because I went on radio every day. I just push the show every single day for no reason. Just out of my own heart. It's just me because like. Everyone, I'm going to tell everyone, tell me all the time how good I am. Like, they always, people even calling on Starcom regularly and say, but I always say, like, suppose I wasn't doing this. Like, they ain't gotten, this is not happening on radio today, nowhere. You understand me? So, like, it's just a need for it. So, that's what we got introduced to your song because, so just checking, because if I wasn't speaking to you today, you would have not been on this station just so probably won't be already speaking to someone. And then people who listen to stations like this wouldn't have heard of someone. You and Ronnie played your song. Ronnie said your song that Ronnie said it is world class. You understand?
Thank you.
So like, right. Like, no, we appreciate it, man. We thank you. But I'm just saying that if it wasn't doing it,
yeah,
it wasn't happening. So,
yeah. So big so up
I, yeah, nah. I purposely check for all. So that's how you know I'm Rissa Lazy. I'm Rissa Lazy Sound. And when you call that name, they give me goosebumps. Rissa Lazy Sound is like you mix soul music with jazz music with funk with R&B. Versus get that body. It bouncy, but it's still sultry and sweet. You understand me?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but your sound sounds like if music had a color. Your music will be fluorescent.
Ooh.
you understand me? Like a nice fluorescent bulb, like a nice fluorescent pink or fluorescent green bulb. Just shiny, sweet, and illuminating the room. That's how you pitch your music. So that was when they went and read. They could tell that when they saw you had hip-hop, R&B, reggae, you started to do genres as influences and what your sound is like. Which I love as well. Then you call some very heavy names. And then Ronnie calls some heavy names, some heavy Barbadian names. And then when you told me, and what capped off the evening for me, Krisairi, is when I mentioned Beautiful and Unspoiled, and you told me how much.
I love that song. And literally, this is divine alignment because I was about to sing it and ask y'all to name the song, and then you called the song. But I know part because I had to perform it live at Turo a few times
before we go, okay, because I want two lines. I want a few lines from Beautiful and Unspoiled for you right now on VOB 92.9 before we go for the entire Barbadian audience. Give them a little piece of that sweet song, your sweet voice right now. Yes. Even if it's the chorus.
I remember the verse. Okay. So
cool.
All my friends are talking about you.
Maybe
I should check you out.
Ooh.
Only had to see what they were talking about.
Needed
expectations. Yes, indeed, you're and then that'll get you out of my mind. You are beautiful and unspoiled. Seen you before.
Now we talk. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa, boy. You got a voice, Chris. You got a voice. You got a vibe. And you are serious about your art. Already got your own .com. And I think that's absolutely, absolutely brilliant. And I want to see it again for the last time. Thank you. And I hope, And I hope, because I know you're still doing music, I know there's still music to come, I know there's still lots more work to come. So I hope that you can come here, speak to us about that music, and let us hear it.
Yes,
and I'm,
please.
Yes, and I'm letting you know, no, you have a home here. You have a home with me, Sluggy. You have a home with Beats and Rhythm and Rhyme. You and any other creatives out there who putting in the work and the effort. Not just anybody, because you know me. But be putting in this work. You know, person that yourself and you, you have a home here at Beats and Rhythm and Rhyme, ma'am. And thank you very much. And keep up the great work. Don't ever stop. You were made for this.
Thank you so much. And before we leave, I would say I would love to come back with, you know, myself and another Bajan artist. We've collaborated.
That we're talking about.
I'm not going to say the name.
Right. You know, we can't give it. Can't give it the sauce yet. Can't give it the sauce yet. But
we can't.
Yes, yes.
We would come back
I'm sure
and
you're
talk
back.
To you about it.
Yes, I appreciate that. And thanks to my Auntie Shirley, Auntie Shirley in New York, everyone listening, Auntie. My cousin Valley, Canada, and cousin, and everyone in England, Mr. Ronnie Clark, as usual, my brother, I really appreciate you accommodating me and giving me this opportunity, Ronnie. I really, really appreciate it. Don't ever take it for granted. This is your boy, Sluggy Dan, on VOB 92.9 FM, the nation's number one station. And this has been Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, and I'm out.
Here she is, Cheryl Hackett.